Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, and it's time to talk all things Galway. I'm David Jennings from the Racing Post, and I'm joined to preview Wednesday's action at Ballybrit by Brendan Duke and Tom Malone. How's it going, lads?
Not too bad, thanks.
How was the first day for you, Brendan?
I lost something small, but I got a couple of each way tickets. I got the place money, so very slightly behind.
Losing something small at Galway is basically winning, really, isn't it?
Well, that is a win.
Yeah, it's a win.
I was just looking at tomorrow, and I got to a 13-runner handicap and breathed a sigh of relief.
Keep the good stuff for later.
Oh, yeah, keep the good stuff for later.
Tom, how was day one?
Day one was good. I was all in an inch free, so that was fine. But it wasn't as comprehensive as you would hope.
Two to five, you like a shorty, do you?
Well, I took 4-7 first thing, but like still, yeah, all in, so it was fine.
I need your wages. Okay, moving on to Wednesday at Ballybrit, and we're going to go through the card. The first race at 5:10 is a maiden hurdle over 2.5 miles, and we've no prices yet from Paddy Power, but I'd imagine the likely favourite is Dancing On My Own from the Henry de Bromhead stable, raised 140. Well fancied for the Coral Cup, Brendan. Ran reasonably well. His form behind Classical Dream. Would he be your idea of the winner of the opener?
Very hard to get away from fourth in a grade one, dropping down to this level. And it's an ordinary maiden hurdle. I mean, I suppose Days Without End isn't totally exposed over hurdles, but he'll have to step up a fair bit here. I thought the Dancing of my own would be very hard to beat.
Yeah, I concur, Tom.
You can't really look past him. He'll obviously be a short enough price. The Mulrines like having a winner at Galway as well. One token sort of each way selection, perhaps Cairn O'Meads, runner who won a bumper at Roscommon a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, look, 140 horse in a maiden hurdle at Galway should win. Should
and it? You've already proved that you love a shorty. This will be the second leg.
Yeah, okay.
Moving on to the 5:40. It is a mare's handicap hurdle, and I think I've spotted one here, but I'm going to save that for later. Okay. I'm going to let you get your point in first. So, Brendan, you go first, the 5:40.
Well, it's very interesting, David, because we're living in an age of big data now. It's all about stride length, sectionals and what have you. But I put it to you that there is still some room for the intuitive punter.
Okay. And
my spider sense is tingling right here with a horse called Golyuv Abu, who I suspect may have been laid out for the meeting.
Now, for our British viewers, okay,
translate.
Just explain, Golyuv Abu means?
Well, Golyuv is Galway, and Abu is up Galway.
Up Galway.
Mon Galway.
Up Galway. So, I mean, you'd imagine the connections when they named this beast, said, geez, we'd love to have a winner in Golyuv.
Now, yeah. Brendan, if you're tipping this horse because of the name, you need more than that. We're not paying you big money to be on here just to tip a horse because of his name.
Absolutely.
You could have stopped that sentence earlier, couldn't you? Anyway, go for it.
Not exposed. And now, perhaps I'm putting one and one together and making three, but had a comeback in Bellewstown, ran a lot better in the finishing position, suggested, blew up late on and finished seventh. And if it sort of plays into my narrative that it was all about Galway, just a tune up in Bellewstown.
And no post-race interview either.
No, well, indeed. So I just think the story checks out for Golyuv Abu tomorrow.
And what type of a price are you expecting?
Well,
25s into 8s, I'd say.
Yes,
Matt Kelly, 25s into 8s.
That would definitely suit my narrative, Tom, yes.
Okay, now the most interesting horse in here, Tom Malone, is I Like the Way You're Thinking, who was done under the under the non-triers rule at Fairy House, but many people thought that the run was, how would you describe it, Brendan? You're quite good with words. So how would you describe the run in Fairy House?
Educational.
Educational, yes.
Yeah, look, he was buried out the back again. At least, you know, if you're going to get caught, don't get caught twice. But, like, you know, you could double down. It's just whether you actually think he has a chance of beating the rest of these. I mean, look, you can't go and say, oh, I'm worried about a horse getting done for non-trying. I mean, how many maiden hurdles do you watch? Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't fret about it. Is the horse well handicapped off a mark of 111? I don't know. Is he? Maybe he is. Maybe he is. Well, I wouldn't be bothered. Like, if we see a big slew of money for him, perhaps. But of the Fruit Loops in here, and you know, of any of these, I think it's going to token pop up West Coast Time just because I think he's due something. He is an absolute fruitcake. And you know the winner last night, Linger. I think he could win exactly like that. Get buried in the, get shuffled back, and then when things start to die in front, he might come home and win, like Linger did, or like Gordon Elliott did in the first as well.
Fruit Loops and Fruitcake.
Yeah.
The same sentence. That's a lot of fruit.
Well, listen, this is Galway, and it's the second race in the card, and it's only an 88 to 123.
And okay. Neither of them won your six a day.
No, neither. No. Go on. I go with neither. You going either?
Potato, potato.
Okay, so your selection's West Coast time.
West Coast time, yeah.
You're with Gullibaboo. And I'm taking you on with the stablemate. I'm going for Don Rader, who was third in the race last year off 118, runs off 122 here, was third in Cheltenham in October off 128, has been chasing deplorably, pulled up last twice, but I got the impression that this was the plan for this horse for the last 12 months. But now you've got me thinking
Forky,
that I'm wrong.
Forky, let's do the Forky.
Because he's not called Gullibaboo. So there you go. Yeah. So moving on to the 6:10 at Galway, it is a mare's handicap hurdle. Quite an interesting affair here, Tom Malone. Very, very open, like the 5:40. You can make cases for any number of them.
Yeah.
Have you any strong fancy?
Yeah, I do. I fancy Buttons and Bows. Keep it simple. Buttons and Bows. Second 2 runs ago. Winner last time out. Darrow Keefe in the plate. Pat Flynn. Jake McManus. Lots to like about it at Galway.
Punchy. I like it. Brendan Duke.
I'm a bit conflicted because the Walking in Memphis is trained by Gavin Cromwell, which I love, and by Jeremy, which I love.
And you like the song.
Well, indeed, yeah, it's a catchy number as well. But it's the trip. Doesn't look like an obvious one for the drop and trip. So I'm going to oppose it with Harry Fry, a man who does not waste bullets. He's a bullet conservationist, this man. And he's sending over this Enna Boy for an Irish hurdle. And there is this theory that English hurdlers are badly handicapped to take them over to Ireland. But he's obviously decided this is worth a go. Beat a couple of informed rivals the last day in Southall. And I will, in Harry we trust.
Okay, I'm going to go for Miss Sassy here for Paul Nolan. Rated 123 over fences, only 106 over hurdles, and was 30-year selection actually last time.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was a little pipe opener for Galway. So Miss Sassy for me.
Yeah, one slight item, Miss Sassy. I'd always thought she wanted a little further than this. Mm. But then again, the finishing straight to go, the last hurdle is so far back. Actually, it's fine for a stare because, you know, there's just so little jumping required.
Lingard jumped the last in sixth, won by 6 lengths.
Yeah,
that tells you what can change. It can change drastically on the running at Galway. Thank the Lord. Moving on to the 6:45. It is very, very straightforward stuff. It is the play, the toe trifecta maiden. This is the race you want when you're just after backing 3 losers. You want to do a little multi for the last couple of races in the car.
Would you triple your stake?
You want a 1-3 favourite just to get your confidence back up, Brendan. And Build Me Up Buttercup. What a cracking run at Ascot. Looks absolutely head and shoulders above his rivals here.
Yes, I was guesstimating £20 in hand. That could be conservative. I tried to find negatives. I came up with that she can be a bit keen and the trip might be a bit short, but she still win.
Tom Malone?
Yeah, look, kind of unopposable. Maybe run from areas sort of token selection, but really, like, it's very, very, very token. I mean, this is just wins, like, and let's move on.
Just wins. It's one for your trebles, your doubles, your lucky 15s. Build Me Up Buttercup in the 6:45. So that's it for part one of our Galway preview. Join us after the break where we'll get stuck in to the Galway plate.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're backing him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, where we're previewing all the action at Galway on Wednesday. And the big one, it's later than usual this year. It's at 7:20, so you've got plenty of time to study and figure out what's going to win the 2019 renewal of the Galway Plate. It's a real high-quality renewal this year, Brendan. And I think we're fancying the same horse, which is not like us.
No, well, I mean, particularly as you say, when it's so hard to rule any horses out. I mean, it's a token selection for me. I think you're a bit sweeter on them than I am.
Yes.
But I did come down on Coney Island. You know I like a class angle. That was a really good effort in a red-hot Ryanair off 157 in a handicap. He's probably never going to be the horse we thought he might be at one stage. But, he did reasonably well last season. Okay run in the Lexus. Very good run in the Ryanair. And he still has scope.
And the most unbelievable thing about Coney Island is what?
I don't know.
He's only eight.
Yeah.
8 years of age.
Mm. He feels like he's been around for a long time.
So this I kind of think he ran against Cottle Star and Demon, didn't
he? Like he beat Annabelle Fly, 2 years ago?
Unbelievable. Yeah. Like, the way I look at this is, right, you've got a horse who is not probably a grade one horse right now, okay? So they kind of go through the entries, they go through what races this horse is capable of winning, they say, well, a Galway Plate, loads of prize money, prestigious race, JP loves to win it, did so with Carlingford Lock and plenty of others. And I think going right-handed after a break on this sort of ground, over this trip, I'm a big, big fan of Jody McGarvey, think he's underrated.
Do you remember what you got for Christmas in 2017?
Excuse me?
Do you remember what you got for Christmas in 2017?
I don't.
That's the last time you won a race as well. Yeah, so that imagine. Is a slight negative.
Yeah, it is, I would imagine.
Boxers and how many pounds has he been dropped since then?
Well, he hasn't. Run off mark of 157, but you've got to rate him on that Ryanair run, I think.
Yeah, I know. And, I'm just like... Yeah. At 10-1 in the Galway plate, that's deep. Are we... Now, is there a case here that this is an absolute rogues gallery? Like, Mengli Khan, York Hill, there's a few others that could get out and get loose in front. A situation like last year, Black Court, and he could get out and get loose in front. Mm. Could you see...
Is that your selection?
I'm actually not sure I have a selection because I want to tip up Snugs or Benny, but I actually think he's gone a little short, around 11 or 12-1. Had him kind of down to more 16-1 mark. But he's kind of obvious course and distance winner. Really nice run in the Irish National. Big fan of the horse. Obviously, the plan since the Irish National, that's a positive. I think it's probably a hotter race than they maybe expected it to be. But I think Black Corton could get out and get loose. York Hill, if you're giving Coney Island a squeak, at least York Hill's been dropped a few pounds since he's last won a race. He's off a mark of 154. Right-handed, obviously a massive negative. But, Clark Ham won this race last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you say Carlingford Lock and Road to Riches won the race in the 140s, handicap mark-wise. So, it's not like Coney Island, who has reached his level, as opposed to winning this race.
This has turned into a bit of a Coney Island bashing, hasn't it?
He does have a great future behind him. I can see that argument. argument all right. But still, as you say, he's handicapped to win on that Ryanair run.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, just a quick run through the betting with Paddy Power. 13-2, Baris is currently our favourite. 8-1, Mengli Khan. 10-1, Coney Island. 11-1, Snugs Were Benny. 12-1, Peregrine Run, who's chasing a 7-timer. You've got Heron Heights, 12-1. Black Horton, 14-1. Azuri, 14-1. Barra, 14-1. Ravenhill, 14-1. Pile on the Pressure, 14-1. It's only a reserve. York Hill, 16-1. The West Awake, 16-1. And it is 16-1 Modus, Auvergnat 16-1, and it's 20-1 Bar, which brings in Prava Laguna.
Do you want one more question? Who does Paul Townend ride in the race?
You don't think York Hill will run?
I'm just not 100% sure he runs. Maybe, there's a bit of history here,
There is.
And Pile on the Pressure is 2 points shorter in the market than York Hill. But obviously, if York Hill were to be a non-runner, as the rules are now, Paul Townend would have to ride Pile on the Pressure. So do you think that was considered in the ranking of the horses at the start of the week? I think it possibly is, because when I saw these entries first, I just had York Hill as 16-1 to run, a long win. But anyway, he's okay. Here now. It's an intriguing little angle.
I haven't delved as deep as that into it, but I thought York Hill would probably run because they've nothing to lose. He's a has-been who is a headbanger who could do anything, and potentially he could rock up in a race like this and win it. Don't know.
Off 154 at 16-1, I think, yeah.
Okay, to sum up, I'm a Coney Island fan.
You are a Coney Island fan.
Coney Island on the double.
You're not really. You're only a blow into the Coney Island. He's a real Coney Island
fan.
That's true. You are a token Coney Island fan.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm not, and I would. My main selection would be Snugs for a Benny, but do you know what? I really wouldn't be surprised if York Hill won if he ran.
Okay, moving on to the 8 o'clock. It is the mile handicap, and I suppose it's a smaller field than we're used to for handicaps at Galway. There's only 13 in it.
Yeah.
And Brendan Duke, blessing. What do you fancy?
What do I fancy? Well, I really like this Torrin Shaman. I was down in Killarney when he ran. He's a really good looking horse by Shamardal. You won't be surprised to hear that. But they must have got some land when he got a mark of 90.
The handicapper
is really, really taken with this bit of form. Now, I think he was a value for a lot more than the 3/4 of a length he won, but he sort of ran around a bit when he got to the front.
Maybe you should blame Frankie Dettori for that. Because no one would have been watching that race if he'd won it and Frankie wasn't there.
Possibly.
You know what I mean? All the eyes were on it. Broke Frankie's heart. There you go, 90. Not so smart now, are you?
The Frankie factor. This stuff runs deep, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I still think, maybe I'm just overdoing it, being a slave to the aesthetic. Now, you often do see it with these horses. They get a mark after winning the maiden, and you think, oh, that's very severe, and then they go and bolt up. Because this is a horse of some potential. Drawn 8, 13 runners around Galway. You need his wits about him. But Killarney's a tricky track to make your debut on, and he handled that. I'll go with the Torrin Shaman. I think he could be a good horse.
Tom Malone?
Maybe just pop up Balefire. I wouldn't be against Torrin Shaman as well. Wouldn't be in love with the idea of getting 90. But yeah, Balefire, just another one for Mick Halford and Ronan Whelan Gaddafi.
I have one here.
Go on. Go for it.
I properly have one here. Okay, so picture the scene. It's Monday at Galway. I'm usually working at Monday in Galway, but this year I'm down Wednesday, Thursday and Friday for all my fans. And two, three probably.
But you'll get points out of it.
I'm sitting down on the couch watching the racing, and I actually made a pasta penne with asparagus and pancetta, which I was really proud of. So I'm watching the race on RTE on Monday night, and the 7 furlong handicap comes on, which I was fancying a horse called Silver Service, which didn't run, no bet in the race, and watching the race. And the minute the race was over, I turned on my laptop and I said, please God, let Angels Rock be entered somewhere else this week, because nothing went right. Got pushed back further than ideal out of stalls, got shuffled back coming down the hill, and didn't really get much room to manoeuvre coming up the home straight. And I thought ran really, really eye-catching under tender handling. Once his chance is gone, I thought he was given a nice time. And it rocks up in a mile handicap, which I think it needs an extra furlong, in this race. Drawn stall 6, Wayne Lorden booked. I think Angels Rock is the bet of the day.
What a boy. I feel like I was on the couch eating the pancetta.
Well, I know,
That seems
so simple, right? Pancetta, a bit of garlic, bit of asparagus, bit of pancetta, bit of chili.
Not a fan of
She's a lucky girl, then. She's a lucky girl.
She didn't get any, though.
You know what? You don't know the half. Yeah. You don't know the half. The things I do. But anyway, Angels Rock will win the 8 o'clock at Galway. I hope viewers and listeners are listening. Okay, moving on to the finale. It is the handicap over 2 miles, and not a strong an opinion here from me, but I thought Upgraded was reasonably well handicapped off a mark of 65 for Tony Martin and Robbie Colgan, so I'll go for Upgraded. Brendan Duke?
Reasonable effort from Falak the last day in Leopardstown. The extra 3 furlongs will help. He's down a pound in the weight, and the boy Ben Cohen takes off a handy 5. I thought story checked out for a big run.
Yeah. 1 vote for Falak.
Falak for the exact same reasons as Brendan.
Okay, 2 votes for Falak, and I am with Upgraded. So the best bet from each of us on day 3 of the Galway Festival, Tom Malone. We'll start off with you.
I'll go Snugsburg Benny each way in the plate.
I thought you didn't really fancy Anton in the Galway plate.
I'm going to put, well, five plates with Paddy Perry. I think it's okay. You can't be out of five.
Okay, so Snugsburg Benny.
We need a winner. We just need a winner. I mean, have you been listening to us? We need a winner. Snugsburg Benny in the first 5.
Okay, Brendan Duke.
Galiv Abu in the 5:40.
Galiv Abu in the 5:40 at Galway. And I'll go for Engels Rock in the 8 o'clock at Galway. My thanks to Tom Malone and Brendan Duke. I've been David Jennings. Thanks for watching and listening.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.